faces you don't know about today, from friends you may not have met yet. Believe me when I say I know help is on the way. You don't have to know where the path you're on is leading. You just have to walk along, dreaming as you go, asking for the things you're needing. You never can go wrong if you have faith that things are happening as they should. And just believe each step you take is leading you to something good. Help is on the way, from places you don't know about today, from friends you may not have met yet. Believe me when I say I know help is on the way.
So the person who wrote that song, the person who sang that song, a treasure in our own community, David Friedman, joining us right now. Hello, my friend.
Hello. It's always so nice to talk to you. I haven't seen you in so long. It's not fun.
I know. So here's what happens. I get up in the morning on a Saturday. I do Kiwanis via Zoom. And then I do yoga. And then I do yoga via Facebook Live, because my yoga teacher hasn't missed a class for free now. She's amazing.
Yeah.
And then it's 11:30, and I look at my kitchen floor, David, and I realize that I have got to clean, because Monday to Friday I'm still working. So I don't have my housekeeper. I'm paying her, but she's not here. So I am doing I'm paying her, but she's not here. So my Bill and I get up and we clean and then I'm exhausted. I mean, it's hard work cleaning your house.
You know, anyway, if you're like my grandmother, I would go to her house and I'd say, and she'd say, "Oh, I'm so exhausted." I'd say, "Why?" And she said, "The housekeeper was here today." I said, "Well, why are you exhausted?" She said, "Well, I have to clean the floor before she comes. I have to empty the closets after." No. I said, "What is she doing, sitting having lunch while you're..."
That's funny. No, no, that's not me. I have to confess. I'll tidy, but I will not clean. My housekeeper does all the heavy stuff. But now I'm doing the bathrooms. And, you know, it's like, it's hard work. And then I'm tired. So maybe on Sunday I'll come over. We'll take a walk. I need to see you.
All right, good. Let me know. I do Unity in the morning, and then I'm around in the afternoon. So that would be
all
fun.
All right. So talk to me.
Well, that song, Help Is On The Way, has been the theme song for the Broadway Cares, Equity Fights AIDS, Easter Bonnet Competition, which is this huge event with all the Broadway shows. And every year, a different star who's on Broadway ends the show by singing it. And it started with Nancy Lamott singing it 25 years ago. And so what they're doing, we're putting together one of those videos where they're going back to all the people who've sung it over the years, because we couldn't have the Easter bonnets this year. And I made a track, and we have all these jingle singers on it. We have live musicians. And so we're working on that to get that message, because, you know, there is a whole aspect, the whole idea of that song. Help is on the way from places you don't know about today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's... We don't always know. We don't know everything, and things happen just as these surprises that we would call negative happen. There are surprises that happen that can be very positive, and we have to remember in this time while we're trying to figure out and control everything. In fact, I just sent out, you know, I have this new book. It's not a new book, but it's a new audio book, my We Can Be Kind book. And I just sent out a little excerpt to the first chapter, which is so many things we can't control, and how we have to kind of do our best, but also let go and go, okay, let me be in this. Let me see what it is. Let me gather forces of spirit, of mind that I might not be aware of, and, you know, see what's happening here and let things work out. And so that's one of the challenges of this time, because a lot of times we can't do anything. We're sitting home. We can't get out. We can't grab it. But we can do things inside of ourselves. We can do, you know, get in touch with our spiritual self. Get in touch with, how do we be calm? And also, you know, it's interesting because I was listening to you. I was on for a few minutes before. These issues that really have two sides, and people want to be right, but we don't know. I mean, I've been thinking a lot about the, you know, the protesters who want to open, just go out and open the country. Now, I think that's insane, but personally. But I think, okay, these are people. Let me get under criticizing them and saying how stupid they are and say, what are they concerned about? What do they want?
Right.
And I realize this group of people is concerned about losing their rights, about the right to choose their own life, about the right to, you know, make their own decisions. Where it gets complicated is the people who don't agree with that will say, yeah, but people could die if they do that. They're threatening other people. Now, when it comes to a woman's right to choose, the group that's defending their right to do what they want will say, believe that someone is dying, you know, an unborn infant is dying, and they say you can't choose because someone will die. So we sort of can't have it both ways. We can't say, I want the right to choose because it's okay with what matters to me, but what matters to you isn't okay. And that's where I think the divide in the country is in the same way that in the, I don't know, the 80s.
You know what? Wait a minute, David. I don't know. I don't know if it's all the same people on this. I'm not sure that it is. It's very interesting because I had Dan Haar on the show the other day. He's a columnist, and he interviewed the people. I'm going to keep it local, not those in Kentucky, but here in Connecticut, the people that went to Hartford. The majority of whom stayed in their cars, incidentally. You got out of their cars, but a lot didn't. And he interviewed them, and he found that there was a tremendous variation. Spoke to a number of people who were there simply because they were hairdressers, and they said, look, I think the state is wrong. I can see one person at a time and be very hygienic and do everything I have to do with masks and gloves, but at least I can have a living. And I can put some food on my table. So I don't think it was all about, you know, big, big rights as much as it was about you're restricting my livelihood too much and you haven't given me a chance to show that I can be responsible.
Yeah, so what it is though someone is jumping in on your life with their feeling about what's best. And there are many sides to this. And people tend to take one side. Like, I remember, I think it was in the 80s, where liberals would scream because conservatives were blocking them from going into abortion clinics, and yet a liberal would think nothing of throwing paint on someone with a fur coat.
And
It's not one side or the other that's right. And so what I've been trying to do is, even though I kind of go, what are you, crazy about certain things, to go, you're a human being. What are you saying? And I actually have a friend who is so on the other side, and his Facebook posts are so, frankly, bigoted and misogynistic and all that. And I've been gradually, we've been writing back and forth to say, what is it you see? What is it you want? And I'll say, well, Trump this and that. And he'll say, I feel the same way about Nancy Pelosi. I can't imagine why anyone would feel that way about Nancy Pelosi, and he can't imagine the way anyone would feel that way about Donald Trump. And so it's really it's so subjective. And I think one of the things we have to do, not necessarily change our opinion, but listen and assume that people have something in mind, that people are not just stupid if they feel differently. You know, Sean, my partner, the Reverend Sean, he says, don't you just hate it when people you can't stand have friends?
Yeah, right. So we're chatting with David Freeman. So, David, tell me a little bit more about the creative community, about what you know is going on right now. I love the news about the video. that you're going to be doing Help Us on the Way, and I can't wait to hear it and have it. We can play it, you know, here and there in our show. The Richfield Playhouse is doing its best, and I see occasionally live blasts, but I feel for them. The Westport mm-hmm. Country Playhouse, first time since World War II, is not having a season. You know, it's tough, and yet, a lot of people became famous artists by doing what they do on social media, which hasn't changed. If anything, gotten more expansive. So I'm just,
you know, it's just,
you know,
a different world. It's like part of what I do is I coach singers, and I do a workshop mm-hmm. called The Thought Exchange. Now, suddenly I can't be in the same room with them, but what I do is I go on Zoom, I take my iPhone, and I hold it right up to the thing so they can really see, oh, that's what I'm doing, something that we don't do in live class. I'm finding actually advantages to certain things, different ways of communicating. And I think that the arts community, which is really struggling, I mean, the idea of opening a Broadway show now seems quite far off. But people are being extremely creative. And I think one of the points, you know, there's when you see these posts, I saw one post, I mean, really ridiculous. It said, now we know that we don't need artists and entertainers. I'm thinking,
that's stupid.
What? Everybody's sitting at home. What are you doing? You're watching movies and television.
Right?
And
that's so true. Oh, my. You know that Netflix got 16 million new subscribers in the last month? 16 million.
Course. And so the
that's the most ridiculous thing.
Yeah, but it's that. And, you know, this brings the point we were talking about before. It's the same thing. Is it possible? You know, I have this big campaign. What are you for? Is it possible mm-hmm. to say what you want without decimating the other side?
Sure it is.
Is it possible to state? And what happens is, and I actually talked about this with my friend who we're going, I said, I see two things in your posts. I see a passionate commitment to something, and I see rage that doesn't have a place to go.
Ooh,
can you try not posting rage?
Rage.
Post your stuff, and somewhere. I had a body worker who said to me once when I was getting kind of, you know, I'm Jewish. I mean, I'm already looking at my feet to see if my feet are changing color.
Purple.
Because I heard five minutes of your, you know.
Right. Exactly.
And she said, what you're going through is fear and rage trying to find a home.
Uh-huh.
It's your fear and your rage.
Yes.
And you're looking around frantically to try and blame something. So if we don't do that, we have this rage, and we have to work that out within ourselves or with therapeutic help or with friends. And I think that a lot of the posting from both sides is half rage and half what they want. But in the rage, so much more time is spent on who I hate mm-hmm. than what do you want to see happen. So when this guy talks to me, not in his rage, I don't agree with him, but I hear why he likes the president. I hear what he thinks the president's going to do.
Sure.
I hear what his vision for this country is, which is not mine, but mm-hmm. I don't hate him. I just, and I think about it, and I go, huh, well, that is an interesting point. And so, and also sitting home, one of the big challenges is building anxiety and rage and frustration and
fear.
And so
fear and fear.
Exactly. Fear.
Fear.
Fear trying to find a home.
Fear.
And we have this fear, and we look at, and we have this Facebook outlet. And so I really try, I said to this guy, I said, what I try and do on Facebook is if you just knew me through my Facebook posts, would you recognize me, and would I be the person who I think I am and would like to be?
So let me ask you, David. So we're chatting with composer David Friedman. Have you written any songs in the last few weeks?
I have, because Sean asked me to write a song for Easter Sunday at Unity, and he said, I want the title to be Raise Up Your Faith. And
ooh.
You know,
wow.
I occasionally write these as a Jewish person, these church songs, mm-hmm. and I, you know, my personal faith is not, I don't worship Jesus, but I think that Jesus was a great teacher, like many others, and was teaching us that we have as much access to God as he did. So I wrote a song that says, and it says at these times, it says like we are wandering in the desert, we're carrying the cross, and we have to know that we have to have faith in whatever that God is for us. And then the other day, Kenneth Gartman called me, and he said, I have a friend who's a minister in a, I think, a Presbyterian church in Texas, and he wanted a song from the church, from the empty church building. The church building, say, I'm here, I'm empty, I'm waiting for you.
Oh, wow, and, I love that.
And so what happens to me is I always, my mind that thinks constant, you know, protective thoughts, says you can't write that. And then I go, uh-huh, I hear you. And I sit down and I write it. So I've written.
How long does it take you to write the song, David? How long did it take you to write that song?
My process is usually I go to sleep. I wake up at 5 in the morning. I sit there with my computer and the first verse comes out. So then I go, oh, I have an idea. Then during the next day, I flesh it out. And then the music writes itself in half an hour.
First come the words and then come the music?
In something like that, yes, because if the song has a subject, in fact, almost always for me, because to me, you see, the way I write melodies is, you know, when you speak, like I'm speaking now, my voice is going up and down. It's changing pitch.
Right.
When I write a melody, I write it on the pitch. Help is on the way from places you don't know about today. Help is on the way from places you don't know about today. So the melody should be in the pattern of speech. So I like to have the speech first.
And how does that work when you have a partner, like the partner that you had with Desperate Measures?
Well, Desperate Measures, Peter hands me a lyric.
Oh, he hands you the word. I see. Oh, okay. I see. I understand.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, the way we work.
So you're never asked to come up with the music for Peter. Peter hands you the lyric and you write the music to that. Got it.
I don't think that way. Some people do. I have never gone, oh, I'm just thinking of a beautiful melody, because I can write 6,000 beautiful melodies. I remember I was doing a movie for Disney, and the producer, the way they did it in the video department, they wouldn't let you sit with your collaborators. They would hand in something, then the producer would hand it to you, you'd hand it back, and they give you notes. And I'd say, I need to talk to a collaborator. He says, no, you're just going to hear the bad ideas. And I say, I need to hear the bad ideas. That's what gets me to the good ideas. And so one day she had a note for me. She said, could you write something different here? And I said, can you give me more? She said, no, that's the note. Can you write something different? And I said, can I write something different? Why, yes. And in fact, speaking of bad ideas, no, I want to start this by saying this is a joke so that nobody believes it. But, you know, the thing yesterday with, you know, put Lysol in your body.
We didn't even talk
about
that.
I think, actually came out and said, please don't do that.
But I said,
that bad idea gave me a brilliant idea that we all have access to. I mean, we know that 60% alcohol liquid kills the virus. So if everyone drank 120 proof vodka a gallon a day for a week, if it got to the lungs, it would kill the virus. If they got the virus, they wouldn't know it. And if they died, they wouldn't die of the virus. I thought this was perfect. Now, don't go out drinking vodka. I don't mean
You know what? I got to go because we have to. But you know what? This has reminded me. You want to know the other crazy thing? So first of all, I listened to the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I to be fair, I think President Trump was really talking about possible biotechnology innovations in light. And light and laser definitely and UV kill viruses. So I think he was taken a little out of context. I'm the first one. If I think, you know, President Trump, whatever, like I'm upset with what he's done on immigration. But in this case, I think somebody took him out of context and whatever. I do.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, But what I did see that wasn't taken out of context, did you see that Chris Cuomo's wife posted on her blog that she's adding a half a cup of bleach to her bathtub? Is she insane?
No.
She's bathing in a diluted Clorox. She says it's killing the metals or some BS. Could you imagine? This is a woman with authority. She's married to Chris Cuomo, who's on CNN. Everyone's watching the Cuomo family go through COVID-19. They're doing it in real time. And she publishes this? She publishes this? That she's taking a bath with Clorox? Are you kidding me?
You sure she's not trying to get rid of her roots?
Very good. All right, I love you. Help is on the way.
Love you too. I'll talk to you soon.
I love you the most. David Friedman on the Lisa Wexler Show. You should follow him on Facebook. He always has such very beautiful, positive, inspiring messages. And, of course, his music is the bomb. The bomb. Full stop, as my daughter would say. Full stop. We'll be right back. The Lisa Wexler Show, more after 11. On the way.